score. She's down to her final shot here. Can you believe it? The American Ninja Warrior podcast starts now.
Hey, welcome back to the American Ninja Warrior podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Lee, editor of ANWNation.com. Season 11 is moving right along, and it's time to talk city finals. This time around, I'm going to have a true professional introduce today's guest. Here's American Ninja Warrior host, Matt Eisman.
Welcome back to Los Angeles for the first of the city finals episodes. This was also the first night we saw the new safety pass up for grabs, which brings us to today's guest on the American Ninja Warrior podcast. Flip Rodriguez is now a 9-time American Ninja Warrior veteran and a 6-time national finalist. That number increased to 7 after the LA City Finals. Flip was one of only 2 ninjas to complete the course, sending him to the Power Tower against Brian Kretsch, where Flip scored the first safety pass. On today's podcast, Flip discusses what it's like to have that do-over in his back pocket and shares that he was very, very close to not returning to the show this season.
Heading into city finals, how are you feeling?
Heading into city finals, I'm really excited and really nervous because now there's a real reason to become the first place or second place overall. We have now what they call Power Tower, and it's this new safety pass. And the safety pass gives you an extra life, essentially, on stage 1 and stage 2. And if anyone's seen my recent seasons, they know that stage 2 has been like a Babe Ruth curse to me. So I went in with the mentality I'm either going to Vegas with the safety pass or I'm not going to Vegas at all. After the salmon ladder, I didn't think it was too heavy upper body, so I didn't take too much rest. And then we ran into the leap of faith, which all night people have not been successful on this leap of faith because the last move is kind of a blind reverse catch. And for some reason, people are just not getting it. So this season, I've been really basing my runs off of me and not off of my friends or anybody else that's competing because I don't train with them and I don't base my skill set on them. So I was trying to move as fast as I could through the leap of faith because I knew that blind catch was going to be heavy to hold on to. And I successfully did it, thank God. And then I got to the spider trap and I was like, okay, you got to move now because this is just heart. There's no real upper body strength or real falling in the water at this moment. So I just kind of pushed through. I raced it as fast as I can, and I successfully came out on top at the first place.
How does the safety pass change your mentality going into national finals? Something you're really experienced with, how you prepare for national finals. Does having that do-over in your back pocket mentally change the game?
I think having that safety pass relaxes the state of mind a little bit because you have room for error now. And if you think about it, there's only 6 regions and only 6 people out of, I don't know, I think like 90 or something like that, that goes to national finals will have a safety pass. And for me personally, to be able to use it on stage 2, if I needed it, would give me more of an edge for me personally, not against competition, but just to keep my mind at ease when I come up to stage 2. And, now I have an extra life, essentially, if I get there. You know, I still have to get there, but it definitely gives me a relaxed state of mind and comfortability when I step out on that stage.
Going back to before any of your runs in LA, you and I had a conversation that I thought was important and very interesting. And it centered around the fact that we almost didn't get you back this year.
Yes.
Do you remember that conversation?
I do very well, actually.
What was the general feeling when you were thinking maybe you didn't want to apply to Ninja Warrior for season 11?
You know, it's interesting because I feel like Ninja Warrior has been such a big part of my life. You know, it's helped me grow into the man I am today. And, you know, I kind of just got lost in the fact that all the fans, my family, my friends, you know, they all count on me to do very well on the show. And I was training really hard and eating really well and sleeping, trying to sleep well. and just kind of doing this all for different reasons. I mean, they're positive reasons, but they weren't my reasons. It wasn't for me specifically, you know, so I had to really sit back. I had a 3-hour conversation with my best friend, Sly Lewis, who actually started training me for Ninja Warrior back in the day. And yeah, he's just like, man, like, if you don't feel it, then just kind of just do your own thing now. You know, maybe you're like the Charles Barkley of Ninja Warrior. You know, you're a great athlete. You did fantastic every time you played, but you just never meant to win a ring. And I had to sit back and really think about that. Like, do I believe in myself enough to know that I can win this whole thing? And if I do, then what is my reason? Like, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for somebody else? And I really had to sit and think. I mean, that 3-hour conversation kind of just changed everything. And after that conversation, I stood up all night just thinking, like, do I really want to come back? Like, is it even worth it anymore? You know, because everyone just sees the spotlight. No one sees the hard work it takes, the 6 hours every day in the gym, the eating well, the sleeping well, the 10 hours of waiting in whatever weather condition we're in to compete for 2 minutes. You know, it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of, you know, your time that's being spent rather than spending it with family or your loved ones. And, you know, I had to sit back and think about it. You know, I feel like I've done my part in inspiring people to kind of just pursue their dreams. And no matter what your background is or what your story is, that it shouldn't hold you back. And you should always pursue what makes you happy. And I had to think about if Ninja Warrior was still making me happy.
Was there something that happened in season 10 that kind of brought these feelings up before season 11, or has this been building?
I think every year it's kind of just building. I'm one that really gets inspired very easy. Like, so failure inspires me to push harder. And I feel like after 8 years of failure, it's kind of like, well, I'm running into the same wall every time. There's no new success for me. Like, it's either stage one or stage two that knocks me out. And I kind of just got tired of it, to be honest with you. You know, training so hard, you know, I've tried training with the best, you know, Drew. you know, it's just kind of been so very frustrating to know that I can do better and I'm just not. You know, whether it's an injury or a silly mistake on the course, whatever it is, I'm not competing to my full capability here. And it was kind of just driving me insane, and I couldn't figure out why. And after the 3-hour conversation with Sly, I realized that my motive to wake up at 4 a.m. to go train or stay up all night and sleep during the day was for other people and wasn't for myself. You know, I kind of just got lost in that, and I don't know, it just became about other people rather than doing it for me. Like, everybody that supports me over the years, or my family and friends that have always supported me, they supported me. Right. So that's how I kind of took it. And I became who I am on the show because I was who I was. I wasn't doing it for everybody back then because I didn't know anybody. And it was just me and my family and my friends, you know. And now we reached this level of stardom on the show that kind of brings pressure. You know, we go on set, and when we're competing, everyone wants to take pictures and sign autograph and all that, rather than going, well, they're competing, so let's let them compete. So it kind of becomes, we kind of become like a showcase athlete at that point. Where, you know, I understand the fans, they like, oh, well, there's Flip, or there's Drew, or there's you know, Rail, or, you know, whoever else is there. And they kind of get this one in a lifetime moment where they could take a picture and autograph, but then they're not seeing the other side of, we've been here since 4 p.m and it's 11 p.m and we're trying to focus for the course because we might be running soon or we might be running really late. So we're trying to get in this right state of mind. And it kind of just gets overwhelming sometimes, you know, because coming from season 3, it was not like that at all. You know, season 3, season 4, season 5, those were seasons where it wasn't that big. Like, no one really watched it. And then now we're at such a level that millions upon millions watch the show. So even it's to the point where most of us get recognized in the street. At the airports, I got recognized in Germany, like at the Germany airport. It's crazy. You know, it's an awesome spotlight to be in, but at the same time, it can kind of get to be too much and you kind of just get lost in it. And I feel like I got lost in it and I lost my reasoning on why I was doing Ninja Warrior. And my reason is to win the gold, is to go all the way to stage 4, climb it and beat this whole thing. And to do it for me specifically, not for anybody else, or to try to change anybody else's life. You know, you have to put yourself first at some point, especially for your dreams. And I kind of didn't put myself first.
Was there a moment that you realized you were doing it for other people versus doing it for yourself?
Yeah, there was definitely a moment, which is why I had a whole 3-hour conversation to Sly, because we were talking. He just asked me, like, why are you still doing it? Like, why do you train every day? Like, what's the purpose? And I had to sit back and think, like, man, I was doing this for you. I was doing it for my mom. I was doing it for my stepdad. I was doing it for my brothers, my sisters. So if I won it, I could change everybody's life to be better. You know, I could pay for my mom's house. I can, you know, help other people succeed in life. If as long as I just become successful right here real quick, you know, winning the show would probably change anybody's life. You know, after that, like, I can't even imagine what comes with that. And the money, I probably wouldn't even see it. I would probably give my money to my family first. You know, so for me personally, I just kind of got lost in doing it for them. And for the fans, because they believe in us so much that I just lost myself, essentially.
Right. So if your motivations for doing it for other people were to help them and, you know, to inspire fans, now that you're focusing more on doing it for yourself, what is it that you want out of this?
I want the throne. That's what I want out of this. Regardless of how long it takes me, I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this to prove to myself that I've been through a rough patch from birth till now, and everything can get better. You know, nothing comes easy. If it was easy, there wouldn't only be one winner of American Ninja Warrior out of 10 seasons. Mm-hmm. And if you think about those odds, how many people tried to compete? That we're talking about thousands, and only one has done it. And those odds are very slim. You know, you have to be on your A game. You have to train really hard. You got to want it. And I want it.
So this conversation that you had with Sly, what prompted it? Did you just tell him you were thinking about not applying? Were you struggling with applying again this year? What got that conversation going?
Well, after season 10, I fell into such a rut. I didn't train. I didn't do anything for 4 months.
Wow.
Nothing. And that's not like me. Every season I'll take like a month off or so. Just to let my body recover from all the damage that we've done to it. But 4 months hit, and then I started competing again. I started training again, and my competitions were not going any way, shape, or form that I thought it would go. Like, we're talking about the silliest of silliest mistakes I've ever done was all the competitions I've been to. I didn't win any of them. And I was losing to people like I didn't even know. You know, and it was all for silly mistakes. And it kind of just went downhill from there. And I was just like, wow, like, maybe this is it. Maybe that there's a new level of ninjas now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not there anymore. Hmm. And that's kind of what prompted it. All my failures in competition, just kind of being in this rut. I was like, I needed to talk to somebody. So I called Sly. And I was like, hey, man, this is the deal. This is how I feel. This is what I'm thinking. What are your thoughts? Because Sly's been with me since season 3. Mm-hmm. Like, he started training me. He's the one that got me strong in the first place. And he knows the ins and outs of how I train and the kind of athlete that I am. So he was going to be the one that was going to be able to help me if I had to pick anybody to help me. So after that conversation, you know, came to the conclusion that my reasonings were different over the years rather than the first few seasons that I started. And now my reasonings have changed in a positive way. Like, those reasons are still there. Don't get it wrong. Like, when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I got to go train, I go, damn, I got to go do it for these people too. Like, it's not just for me. But overall, I want this. Nobody else. Nobody else calls me every day and checks in. Hey, are you training? Are you working out? What did you do? All right. No, you got to do this. Remember, you failed. Like, no one's checking up on me. Mm-hmm. So this is something that I want to do. And ultimately, that's what I really want now. And I have to put the responsibility on myself. I have to put the accountability on myself for training and getting ready for the season.
You mentioned there was a couple other conversations that happened as well with mm-hmm. Drew and Adam. Yep. Tell us about those.
You know, I had a conversation with Adam Rail at one of the competitions that I did very poorly on. And it was towards getting really close to A&W 11. And I was just telling him, like, this, like, dude, I'm done. Like, I'm not doing this properly. Like, maybe this is over. This is it. And Rio was just like, dude, we all have bad days, etc. I was like, dude, you don't understand. I've been competing in tons of competitions and I'm not doing well at all. And, you know, we had this whole conversation about it. You know, he goes, dude, it's just a rut. Like, it's also been happening to him as well. And he just kind of like wanted to pep me up. You know what I mean? Because Rail's been one of the competitors that have always done very well. Mm-hmm. Rail looked up to me and Drew coming up in season like 3, 4, and 5 when me and Drew would race against each other. He's, I think, a fierce competitor. He's very strong, very fast. So he knows what it takes to be on the top. And for him to talk to me and spend some time kind of aligning my vision of what I used to have was really nice. It was really refreshing because nobody else is going to try to get you there, you know? And then having a conversation with Drew was like, dude, you've been a part of this whole ninja community for how long now? You understand more than anybody else that Ninja Warrior is Ninja Warrior. Things happen. Like, it only takes one mistake to throw you out of the game. So what? These competitions don't mean anything. If it happens on the big stage, then you can cry about it. But if it's happening on these little competitions, like, who cares? Like, that doesn't make you who you are. You're Flip, and understand that regardless of what any competition happens, you're still going to be Flip. So after all these conversations, you kind of see this perspective and this whole new mindset that Ninja Warrior doesn't make me who I am. I make me who I am, and Ninja Warrior sees who I am. And when you put it that way, you're like, wow, like, that is just life-changing, at least for me personally, because everyone's like, oh, I'm so nervous, I don't want to fall. Like, really think about it. If you fall or you hit the buzzer, what changes? Nothing. You know how many people hit buzzers every year? Nothing changes. Only buzzer that matters is stage 4. To be real, like, if you hit all the buzzers and fail stage 2, you're just like everybody else in city qualifying, city finals. You didn't make it. Now, I know that's a little harsh. It is, but it's the truth. Like, think about it. Think of the history of Ninja Warrior and Sasuke. Like, these people make it to stage 4 and miss it, and nothing changes. They have to go back to square 1. They have to train really hard just so they can get another opportunity to get there again. Like, it doesn't matter until you hit stage 4 and you hit that buzzer, and then you take the whole gold home. So regardless of where you failed, failure is failure, no matter how close you get. Mm-hmm. For me personally. So having these conversations with these amazing athletes, my best friend, it's been literally life-changing for me personally, because it made me realign my vision and really chase after my dream, not what somebody else is dreaming for me.
What did it feel like to come to that realization?
It's uplifting, to be honest. To be able to come to the realization that you have to hold yourself accountable for it and nobody else, it's uplifting, and it really shows you who you are. Like, every day, do you think I really want to go to the gym? No. Let's be honest. Like, no, I don't want to be up at 4 a.m. I don't want to be at the gym at 5. I just don't. But how bad do you want your goals? Mm. How bad do you want your dreams? Like, you got to be able to want to chase this no matter what the situation you have at hand. Every day is going to be a different day. You only live once. You really want to spend it doing something you're not going to enjoy? Mm. Yeah, it's hard. Nothing that you want will ever be easy. So you got to just realize what you want out of life and spend every day chasing it. Ninja Warrior doesn't make me who I am, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Right? I am who I am on the show because I am me. And once you come to the realization that Ninja Warrior and the fans love you for you, what does it really matter how you do on the show? Like, overall, like, Ninja Warrior doesn't feed us. We don't make money on Ninja Warrior unless...
We eat a banana here and there.
Okay, well, yeah. On set. Maybe once a year you get a banana. But Ninja Warrior doesn't help us year-round. We help ourselves year-round to get this opportunity to compete and do what we love to do, and it's to crush obstacle courses or to be challenged by these awesome obstacle courses. So overall, what does Ninja Warrior really mean? Absolutely nothing. Doesn't do anything. Hmm. There's how many people compete in city qualifiers every year?
100 a region.
100, that's 600 people. So how many people actually make it to Vegas? 86 to 90 something mm-hmm. people, maybe something like that. And what happens to the rest of the 500 and change people? Nothing. They go about their everyday life and they do what they love to do and train and et cetera. So Ninja Warrior doesn't hold any real value unless it's your dream. So if you're nervous about Ninja Warrior because you don't want to fail and there's so many people around and there's cameras, like, you're worried about the wrong thing. If you don't want to fail because this is the one opportunity that you've been waiting for all year because you know that you've trained really hard and this is your dream, is to conquer Mount Midoriyama, that is something to be nervous about because you only get one shot. Mm. This is not like basketball where you get to practice a three-point shot and the three-point shot is the same anywhere you go. If you're in LA, it's going to be different from LA to Baltimore. You know, the obstacles are changing. You don't know what they're going to throw at you. So it all changes and you have to be adaptable. So the reasoning for you to be nervous has to have a bigger goal.
Right.
Right. So, like, if you're just nervous because you don't want to fail in the first one because you want to be embarrassed. Really? Like, who cares?
How do you stay in love with this fickle beast?
You know, I stay in love with it because there's always room for success. Mm. There's always room to grow. There's always room to meet new people that can help you grow. And I've had a really hard time finding people to grow with. I feel like the only person I've been able to really grow as an athlete is Drew. Mm-hmm. I've trained with a ton of other people and I haven't felt pushed. I haven't felt challenged enough. You know, and knowing that Drew's on the east side, I'm on the west side, it obviously makes things a little harder. But, you know, me and Drew just have this connection that when we train together, it's just like, it's just there. It's hard to explain, but it's just there. We have the same goals in mind, is to win Mount Midoriyama. And, you know, I think that drive that we both have is what makes us better.
Right. We've talked a little bit about fans and doing it for them and fan mm-hmm. pressure. How would you surmise the American Ninja Warrior fan community?
When we're talking about Ninja Warrior fans, you got to also understand that we're talking about mostly kids, mm-hmm. right? So when chances are the kids spot me before the parents do, or the parents don't know who I am, and the kids go, oh my God, that's Flip Rodriguez. Oh my God, that's Drew. Oh my God. And they freak out. And then the parents come, hey, I'm just curious, are you Flip Rodriguez? And I'm like, yes. Like, oh, well, my kid spotted you. Can he just take a picture or she take a picture? So it's these kids just get really excited to see somebody they love on TV. And they actually get to meet them in real life. And that, I think, it's something that's super rare. Mm-hmm. And that's an opportunity that you get to make an impact on somebody's life. That moment. Like, how easy would it be to just go, actually, I'm not taking pictures. I just need to go. Mm-hmm. And then that kid is going to go.
That's all he'll remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, it's like you're like, okay, well, that didn't work out how I wanted to. So maybe this is how the world works. Or if you take the time out of your day to go, all right, cool. Yeah, let's take a picture. So what do you do? Like, what are you chasing? What's your dreams? Like, do you want to be a police officer? You want to be a ninja warrior one day? Da, 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 da. And then it kind of gives them that motivation to go, wow, he talked to me. So I want to do better. You know, as silly as it sounds, because we're just regular people on Ninja Warrior, where there's nothing special about anybody on that show. There's nothing special about anybody around the world, in my opinion. I don't care what your career is. You know, if you're a mean person, then you're just a mean person. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to look up to you just simply because you're ugly on the inside, you know. So we're all just people, and we look to motivate other people. And the fact that we get to do that at random times throughout our days is pretty amazing. Those opportunities I take very special in my heart, because, you know, growing up as a kid through my sexual abuse is if I would have had the one moment where I would have came across Will Smith as a kid, probably would have changed everything, right? So I take it as that. I know I'm nowhere near as massive as Will Smith, and, you know, I don't expect to ever be that big. But still, you could be everything to one person, even not knowing them.
Right. That's exactly what I was just going to say. To some kid, you are to them what Will Smith would have meant to you.
Right. Exactly. So if you kind of just think about it that way, regardless of how my day is going personally, I can't ever brush anybody off. Regardless if my dog dies or one of my family members pass away, you know, whatever rough patch I'm going through, I have to understand that that kid might be also having a rough patch. Right. Or that adult or whoever I'm meeting at that moment might be having a rough patch, and this moment might change everything. So depending on how you handle it will determine how they react in their own lives. So essentially, it's just bigger than I am.
Does it take a while as an athlete, because you get these kind of conversations in ninja warrior situations where you're trying to get ready to compete, as you've mentioned earlier, does it take a while to develop the skill to be able to switch back and forth between whatever you need to do to be successful on the course mentally and how you can be there for that fan?
You know, most of us do really well. You know, I mean, obviously you guys see on TV all the time that ninjas travel to other regions to support and watch the competition. So, for example, Drew does really well on helping me handle that, and vice versa when I go support him. You know, I know he's there to focus. And if I see somebody to come up to him, I'll kind of just take that path in front of him and go, hey, how you guys doing? They're like, oh, well, I want to see Drew. I'm like, well, yeah, listen, like, he's about to run. He's really focused. So is it possible you guys could talk to him after his run? After his run, you guys could talk to him all you want. He just needs to really focus. And they go, oh, yeah, no, that's great. No worries. I apologize. And it's like they understand. They do understand, but they just get so excited when they see somebody that they look up to on TV. So you can't blame them for it, but at the same time, it's having the support system around you that will help you come through those situations to help you do really well on the show.
I was just going through an interview that I did with Joe Morofsky, and he said that you're one of the competitors he's worried about this season as far as facing you in later stages, because you have a sense of focus that's palpable, that he hasn't seen from you before. Do you agree with that you've gone into this season with a whole new level of focus?
Yes, I'm definitely, you know, after almost not coming back to season 11 has given me a whole new drive. You know, I realized that this is what I want, and I have to hold myself accountable for this. So I'm going to push as hard as I can, regardless of what happens this season. I need to know that I gave everything I've got this season. And if it doesn't work out, that's possible, but I can't let the pressure of failure stop me from giving 120%. This season, I'm giving 120%, regardless of what potentially could happen.
How close to the start of the season did all this happen? How close were we to not getting Flip?
You guys are very close to not getting Flip. I'll be very honest. There was a point where I got emails from Ninja Warrior asking me to submit. Because my submission, like my application, nothing was done. Mm-hmm. So they're like, hey, just a reminder, application's closed January 2nd. And I was just like, okay, I just read the email and just never paid any mind to it, you know. I think I submitted a little late. You know, even my submission video, I put a lot of time into it. You know, normally I don't, because we come back every year. Sometimes, well, there was a point we were coming twice a year, Team Ninja Warrior also. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's how much changes in 6 months? You know, for most of us that have been around since season three, every year you want something new, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is our dream. This is our focus. It's Ninja Warrior. That's it. So it got very close. It got very close to not for me not to come back. You know, the people, I feel like everything happens for a reason. People come into your lives for a reason. And I feel like Sly, Drew, and Rail came into my life, especially this year, specifically to focus my drive.
Coming into this season with this renewed energy, with this renewed perspective of Ninja Warrior does not define you.
Mm-hmm.
What does define you?
I define me. My actions every day, the person I am, the way I treat people, how I see life and how I see myself is what defines me. No one in this world knows me the way I know me. No one could tell me anything about my past because they weren't there. So unless you know me and my full story, you can't make a judgment call on me. And that's something that took me a long time to learn. Like, I'm the same thing. I can't judge anybody for how they are. I don't know their life story. I don't know what they've been through. And when you come down and you really think about that, you're like, why is this person acting this way? So instead of sitting there judging them or sitting there going, oh, well, I can't really hang out with this person, why not just sit there and go, hey, why are you doing this? And try to figure out who they are and why they're acting that way. Because it might be a trauma that they're going through from years ago. You know, I can't tell you how many people I've pushed away knowing that I couldn't even trust my own father. You know, it's like, if I can't trust him, what makes me believe anybody in this world I can trust? So it's, you know, everything's, life is all about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And how you see things. So if you want to see things in the darkness, then that's probably where you'll end up. And if you want to try to always find the silver lining in the darkness of any situation, chances are you'll be in the light more than in the darkness. Understand that you're not promised tomorrow. And when I came to the conclusion of that and understood that tomorrow's not promised, anything can happen to anybody at any time, I'm like, wow, I have to take every day as a blessing and really show the world that you only live once. Like, really think about this. Like, you're not in a hospital, you're not missing limbs, you're not fighting cancer, you have a roof over your head, you're eating. Like, how bad could life really be if you have all those things?
Mm-hmm. Well, you started off your Ninja Warrior season pretty strong. One of only two finishers in LA City Finals.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that one. I'll be honest with you. I'm really stoked about that one.
You've got the safety pass.
Yep.
What is your perspective heading into National Finals?
My perspective on National Finals is to go there and win it. Mm-hmm. You know, train as hard as I can. I'm training with Drew. And just got to give everything you have to it. You know, if you want something, you can't go into chasing your dreams 80%.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go at 120. So that's what I'm going for. I'm going full throttle. And even if it doesn't happen this season, I will come back next season and I will be at 120 again. So I'm not going to get discouraged because I finally realized that I want this for me and I'll be here.
I'm sure everyone is absolutely relieved to hear that.
Me too, actually. Me too. You know, it's everybody, I feel like, at some point hits that wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the percentage is, how many people actually can go through that wall or they let that wall stop them in their tracks. But for me, it was very close. Very, very close. And, you know, I couldn't imagine somebody else hitting that wall and then going, okay, it's because it's just easier to quit. You know, anything in life is just always easier to quit. And that's just not how things work.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Next week on the American Ninja Warrior podcast, we're returning to Atlanta for the city finals, and we're spending some time with stellar sophomore contestant RJ Roman. Talk to you then.
And history has been made! Shut the front door. She's down to her